From the KLYT broadcast studio, this is ABQ Connect. Your input on today's topic is important to us. Join in the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Now let's join our host, Jim Williams, on ABQ Connect.
Tracy Rodden is the new executive director of Feed New Mexico Kids, and she's joined in studio by Zanetta Crocker. She's the community outreach director with Calvary Church. Ladies, welcome to ABQ Connect.
Thanks for inviting us. We're excited.
You know what? There's something good happening in Albuquerque, and so many times we're talking about stuff that's not great, but there is an organization like Feed New Mexico Kids, and obviously lots of other good charities, but people that are just dedicated to provide food for children that don't have that food. Tracy, you have a special event coming up. It's for the King and Country Concert, and that concert, part of it will benefit Feed New Mexico Kids. Tell us about that event.
So for King and Country is on tour right now, and they'll be coming through Albuquerque on May 19th, and they're going to be performing at the Hinckley Coliseum at 7 p.m., and they have generously offered to help promote Feed New Mexico Kids through their concert. So what that looks like is they're going to allow us to have tables, or what we would call a booth, at the concert to answer questions. And if people would like to bring food and donate it for Feed New Mexico Kids, they can. Now, here's the thing. Like, if I'm thinking I'm going to dress up and go to a concert, I'm not thinking, does my outfit go with this can of ravioli, right, that we need? So if you want to bring that food to Calvary Church or to any of our church partners, you can drop off food there as well ahead of time. So I'm kind of like that. I'm like, I just want to have my handbag. I don't want to carry a case of ravioli. But we will have bins there to collect food.
That's neat. Tracy, you've been volunteering with the organization for a couple of years now.
Yes.
Tell us about the path and going into this leadership role with the ministry.
Yeah, well, God says in James that we shouldn't, you know, make plans for ourselves, because actually God has plans for us, and I didn't really see that. But in 2019, I left my position at Calvary in women's ministry, sadly, because I was working with Zanetta and I loved her. But I felt, you know, I turned 50 and I felt like it was time to kind of move on to something else. I went on to do other entrepreneurial things and started serving at Feed New Mexico Kids. I was just showing up, I think on a Monday or Tuesday, for 2 hours, and I'd pack and I'd leave. And I did that for several years. And in the summer, the beginning of the summer of 2021, I think it was May, and I just was talking to somebody about Feed New Mexico Kids, because I would tell everybody wherever I go. So I was in my car driving, and I felt like God said, well, you can do more. And, you know, when God says that to you, you kind of do the, no, that's not what I meant.
Right.
I'm good where I'm at. And it was really strong on my heart. So Holly Slade and I are friends, and she's the founder of Feed New Mexico Kids. And I ran into her when I was packing, and I thought, well, I'm going to obey God, but I'm just going to do it in this nonchalant way, and then I'll have done my job that God wanted me to do, and I can walk away and enjoy my life the way it is. And I said, hey, if you happen to need more help besides packing and delivering, let me know. And she said, oh, I do. We do. By the way, we do. And I thought, oh, here we go. So I met with Zanetta and Holly, and we chatted about some things that I could do. And as I started talking to people in the community about the need to help hungry children in New Mexico, it dawned on me that people don't really understand it's a big issue here. So then the Lord kind of was like, well, you need to do this and this and this. These are the tools that they need. Help equip them with the things that Feed New Mexico Kids needed. And that was a beautiful brochure that was designed by my son-in-law, who just offered his talents to us. And a friend of mine, I contacted her. Her name is Sarah Canafani. She owns Luminance Pictures, and she had done a documentary in India on the wells in India, and then she had done a documentary out of Angel Fire called On This Hollow Ground. And she was nominated for an Emmy because of that. And she had done my husband and I's wedding video 10 years earlier. So I called her and I said, Sarah, I want to ask you a question, and you can completely say no, and because I'm asking you to do this for free. Because when you're a nonprofit, all the money goes towards what the nonprofit needs. And sure. For us, it's food. So I started explaining to her who we are, and about 2 minutes in, she said, "Stop talking, I'm doing it." And that was like, okay. So we spent the summer making this beautiful documentary, and we had some friends come along with their children. The Schroff family came and let us use their kids as actors. And so we have this beautiful documentary, which I do want to say the stories in the documentary are real stories that have been collected over the years of Feed New Mexico Kids' existence. But we have actors playing that out.
And that video is available at feednmkids.com.
It is, and it's also available on YouTube, but you have to type in the whole Feed New Mexico Kids, and okay. It will pop up, and that's a great way to share it. And it is kind of lengthy, just so you know when you start watching it. It's about 25 minutes.
So, Netta, Calvary Church is one of many churches that supports Feed New Mexico Kids. How do you interface with Feed New Mexico Kids?
Yes. Well, I work in community outreach here, community outreach department. I think you said that at the beginning of the show, but we actually meet together a few days out of the week, and we have volunteers that are recruited to pack these snack packs. When Tracy mentioned snack packs, they're at a gallon-sized Ziploc baggie, what we give to the children. Single-serve, non-perishable food items are in there that a child would be able to open the bag and eat directly from it. The kids that were... We might get into this a little bit more as we talk, but the kids that we are serving are kids that don't have anything to eat over the weekend. So anyway, our volunteers, they come in and they pack these snack packs, and we get them ready every single week. We're getting those ready. They're packing them. We have volunteer drivers who deliver to the schools. And so it's big. So, you know, I may be community outreach here at Calvary, but this is for sure our largest local outreach into the community. And for this particular one, we're just reaching out to those kiddos who don't have anything
big,
to eat.
When you say big, Zanetta, there's a need. I mean, I've heard on this program, we've heard 4,000 to 5,000 children that are food insecure.
Yes.
In a given week.
Yes.
So every single week right now, your work with Calvary Church, yep. And then there's several other churches which we can talk about that are part of Feed New Mexico Kids. You're feeding about 4,000 kids every weekend.
Yes, and through Calvary, we are packing 2,500 of those snack packs a week. That's a lot. That is a very big number. It's very our volunteers get really tired. They love it, and they come back. We have different groups that come during the week, but it's a lot of work.
So
it's a lot of labor sometimes.
If somebody's listening right now that's a church leader at any church, I don't care if it's 100 people or 5,000 or 10,000.
Yeah.
Is what you're talking about scalable with their church? Could they adopt a couple of schools and provide food for those children on the weekend?
Yeah, absolutely. And Tracy would be able to speak more about like onboarding people, or churches. But if you're listening and you're a church, if you're, you know, part of a church that you maybe want to get them involved, it doesn't have to start with 2,500. We didn't even start that way. I've been working with Feed New Mexico Kids for a few years, and it didn't start that way. It can start small. We just got Calvary Santa Fe, so technically Calvary, but out in Santa Fe, they started recently, and they're doing 95 a week to a particular school. That's still a big number, but I think, you know, there are some schools out there that maybe they know 5 or 10 children who need this. Mm-hmm. And again, like Tracy might even have different ideas. Like if you're, you know, maybe you can't do everything all at once, mm-hmm. but maybe there's support that Feed New Mexico Kids can give as far as, mm-hmm. I don't know, financially or whatever to get you started.
Yeah. I think that's one of the things about the ministry that really was attractive to me in the beginning is it's, you know, there, you know, you mentioned 4,000 or 5,000 children at any given time are hungry, but the total in New Mexico is 170,000 children that are food insecure, that they don't know where their next meal is going to come from. And that's the definition of food insecure, is not knowing where your next meal is going to come from. And so just think about that. That's approximately the size of Las Cruces.
Wow.
Wow.
So here's what I kind of think in terms of when you hear that number and that issue, you get overwhelmed, and it can really stop you in your tracks. But everybody doing a little bit can solve the hunger issue in New Mexico. And if that's just, hey, I was at the store, I remembered you guys said you needed ravioli, I got an extra case, I'm going to drop it off at my church, or you're going to help pack, because there is a need for packing.
Yes.
And I think Wednesday at Calvary is the big day that you need help packing still.
Yeah, you know what? Honestly, it's been turning into every day. Pack Monday through Wednesday, and we've been opening up some Saturday packs too. So if Monday through Wednesday during the day mm-hmm. doesn't work for you, we've been opening up Saturdays because, yeah. again, it's a lot of work to get it done.
And it's, but here's the thing, it's really fun.
It is.
And it gets you out of the house. We have, I think this is a perfect ministry for homeschooling parents, because you're teaching, bring your kids, you know, they have to be, you know, able to put stuff in a bag. But, you know, you're teaching children to help other children and to help in their community. I raise my children to always be serving, no matter what. You're going to be in service, and you're always going to be serving. And this is a way to do it. Retirees are really helpful. We do need more men, because the containers can get heavy. And drivers are a big deal. Mm-hmm. And it's just 2 hours. I mean, most people spend more time binge watching Netflix than, you know, that would take to help with Feed New Mexico Kids. And so if you're a small church, what I would do is you can contact me. I'm going to give my phone number for Feed New Mexico Kids here a couple times, but it's 505-252-4341. And you can text me. I love to text because I can do it at any time, so I can communicate no matter where I am. Or you can give me a call. But if you're a small church or a large church, I'll come in and explain the program and how to get started. And here's the thing, too. I was just talking to somebody on the phone this morning who has a very small church, and they said to me, oh, you know, we're not very many people. I don't know how many we could take on. Well, let's not put God in a box. You know, let's just move forward and see what he's going to do and go from there. Everybody wants to know exactly when and how and the amount, but sometimes, you know, let's just step out in faith and do it.
Yeah, and just kind of let it happen. We talked about this before we started. Mm-hmm. High Desert United Methodist Church
yes.
is a small church in Rio yes. Rancho. Wanda from their church, she heard about Feed New Mexico Kids, I think, on this radio show. And she reached out, and now her congregation, mm-hmm. which is, according to her, a little bit older.
Right.
They are packing.
Right.
Some snack packs.
And it's a social time for them, too, yeah. right? They sit around.
It is. Have you been to visit them
yet? I haven't been
yet?
There yet.
Yeah, I had gone to visit them when I first came on board with Holly, and it was so sweet. Everybody does it different. Mm-hmm. I think they had done it, like, on a weekend, but they, like, so many members of their congregation were there to help, and they mm-hmm. are older people, but they had music going. They had a time set aside for Holly to speak for a little bit, but they set up tables. It was super organized, and they were having so much fun. I mean, there were a lot of children involved, like you just mentioned, yeah. Tracy. There was children involved, and they really had it down. So it was super fun. They made it into an event.
Yes.
Yeah.
And on Thursday, I was at Faith Lutheran, who is a church partner, and there was probably 10 packing there. And we had so much fun packing. And afterwards, they gave us cookies and cake. I mean, that was worth it to me just to go and.
That's right.
Tracy Rotten is the new executive director for Feed New Mexico Kids. And she's joined in studio by Zanetta Crocker, the community outreach director with Calvary Church. I hope as you're listening today, you might think about that this is a solvable problem. We can help all children in New Mexico have food on the weekends,
right.
and it's not out of reach.
That's right.
It's not blue sky. It absolutely mm-hmm. is achievable. So we'll be back to talk more about this right after these messages.
Whether at home or in the workplace, we are all leaders. Become a better leader in this leadership moment with Craig Rochelle.
I want to encourage you in your leadership, number one, to question everything and be willing to change anything. If your leadership strategy is similar today to the way it was before the pandemic started, you probably have a very bad strategy, because the world is very, very different. Let the numbers speak to you. Know your numbers, study your numbers, look at your numbers, let the numbers speak. The numbers almost always tell the truth. And that makes me pause and question everything. What about this strategy do we still like? What needs to change in your leadership? Because we're in a very different world. Question everything and ask yourself, what do we need to change? Do we need to change our structure? Do we change our strategy? How has your core business changed?
That was Craig Rochelle with a KLYT Leadership Moment. Hear more at life.church/leadership podcast.
Here's Mike Fabares, Bible teacher on Focal Point.
Why me? That's a question we usually ask when bad things happen to us. But it's a great question for us to ask when good things happen in our lives. It's a question that Esther asked herself in the Bible when she'd been plucked from the foster care of her cousin Mordecai to become the wealthy and pampered queen of Persia. After her unexpected rise to prominence, a plot was uncovered that threatened to annihilate the Jews. Mordecai wisely asked Esther, "Who knows whether or not you've come to the kingdom for a time such as this?" The rest of the story clearly answers that question. Esther's unique position was God's strategic plan for protecting his people. So the next time God unexpectedly blesses you, consider how that blessing might be used for God's glory. You may find that it was for a time such as this.
Want more? Join Pastor Mike Fabares each weekday on Focal Point to be equipped for life. Details at focalpointradio.org.
You're listening to KLYT. Welcome back to ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. There's still time to join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790. That's 505-338-5790. Or text 505-585-LIVE. That's 505-585-5483. Today's show is sponsored in part by Ben Lucero at Indigo Mortgage. 505-836-5700. That's 505-836-5700. Or online at indigomortgage.net. Thank you, Indigo Mortgage, for your support of KLYT and ABQ Connect.
Sonetta Crocker is the Community Outreach Director with Calvary Church. We have her here because she's been with the organization for a long time. Plus, she is part of the church staff at Calvary Church. And I want to make sure people know this is not a Calvary thing. This is Zanetta, of all people, is going to say, come on, churches, come join Feed New Mexico Kids. And she can share kind of some of the dynamics that have gone on with the church. Tracy Rodden has been a volunteer with the organization. She's now the executive director of Feed New Mexico Kids. She shared in our first segment a little bit about her story. Zanetta, share with us, if you would, an impact story and how Feed New Mexico Kids is helping the community.
Sure. Yeah, and I love this question, and this is super important for listeners to know, because before I get into one of those, you know, a lot of many people that I've had one-on-one conversations with will ask questions like, well, where are the parents? What are the parents doing? And, you know, almost in a very super negative way. Yeah. But what we have learned, I mean, one of the first story I'll share with you is a single mom, four children, and the dad left the household, and she says that these snack packs have really helped her, because she's able to spend money on things like birthdays that she wasn't doing before. And so sometimes what we've learned is that it's temporal help that's needed, whether it's a single mom. I mean, another story that I have, and this is very common, that grandparents have to take in the kids for whatever reason. Recently we were sent a story that a grandma, she has her disabled daughter and then a grandson, 10-year-old grandson, that are living in the home. And those weekend snack packs are helping them so much, and it's just her trying to make ends meet. You know, so there's a lot of different scenarios. Yes, you do have the stories, you know, of parents drug abuse or whatever it might be. And, you know, the extreme cases, I guess I should say, but there are just those everyday situations that happen. And I can go ahead. Were you going to say something?
Well, I can't help but look at what James says.
Yeah.
Now, some people, you know, Bible scholars will discuss James. James was as a matter of fact guy as you can possibly be. He writes, if a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, by the way, he's talking to us, go in peace, be warmed and be filled.
Right.
And yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body. What good is that?
Right. Yeah, absolutely.
And so we're talking about people, these two ladies in studio with me, and I'm so thankful for you because you're nobody's asking you what good is that because you're fighting to get snack packs in the hands of people that really need them. And Tracy, you even mentioned mm-hmm. that sometimes you'll get a call and mm-hmm. 4 or 5 kids don't have school supplies.
Right.
And a ministry helps with that too.
Right. Well, I think it's incorrect when we hear that kids in New Mexico are food insecure, and like Zanetta mentioned already, and I've heard this many times as well. Isn't the government giving them help? I think it's to our advantage, and just what you read in James, that the Lord says to each of us, I want you to do it. If it wasn't for Christians saying, okay, Lord, I'll do it, we wouldn't have hospitals, you know, we wouldn't have orphanages, you know, things like that. So, you know, if you hear about it, then it's your responsibility to do something about it, not to say, well, that's somebody else's responsibility. So everybody who's listening right now, you now have a responsibility to mm-hmm. do something.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Netta, you're part of a large ministry, Calvary Church. But I think you could encourage people that are in both a formal position like you are mm-hmm. and people that might just be leadership of a church. They could get involved very easily.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they absolutely can get involved. And there's a lot of different ways to do that. I think, you know, just seeing the impact that we're having as Calvary Church and hearing stories like this and building relationships with teachers and counselors and being able to, on a one-on-one level, share the gospel with those mm-hmm. people, that alone is such a benefit for you as a church partner, church leader, to get on board, because that's what we're doing. Mm-hmm. We are sharing with people. We are getting food out there, starting with providing for the means, you know, of the children. And from there, I mean, I have so many stories of just the relationships that have been built.
Well, you shared with us when you came in today that mm-hmm. One of the teachers?
Yes.
Ask of the delivery driver.
Yes, the delivery driver built a strong relationship just dropping off the snack packs at the school. We don't interact directly with the children. They're dropped off to a teacher or counselor, just so you know. And the counselor and her have just really developed a relationship. And, you know, she has called our delivery driver several times when she has needed prayer. She has been invited by our delivery driver many times to church. They have a really great relationship. And this lady is very comfortable to call her. Recently, she had an issue of crisis and lost a couple of people in her family at the same time. And the person that she called was our delivery driver. Mm. So, I mean, we're just out there and able mm-hmm. to share the love of Jesus where people know. And then it just continues when those relationships are built, we're also able to provide for other needs. I mean, we've mm-hmm. gotten different calls. Around back in December, we had another community coordinator, school coordinator, contact me because he knew me and he had a family in his school. The house actually caught fire and it burned down completely. So parents, grandparents, and there was kids, like there was a lot of them in the same house. And he called just to see, like, is there anything that you guys can do? He knows we're from a church. Like, can we, you know, some way of helping? So those relationships are super important.
Well, and you know things probably. I had this on my list, but I didn't get to it in the first segment. You probably see things in the community mm-hmm. that people just going to the church don't see and don't know about the need.
Right.
So mm-hmm. part of what you do is let them know about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And that's one of the big examples right there. And this, you know, the opportunities to serve in our community are not just happening when there is a holiday, when there is the Christmas, yeah. Thanksgiving. That's when we get the most calls from volunteers who want to help. Yeah. But this is year round. I mean, it can be something as small as, you know, cleaning up yards. I mean, we've had people who need help removing junk from their yards. Literally, we had that situation. And again, this is a relationship that was built because of Feed New Mexico Kids, and we're able to build this relationship. But we literally sent guys out there to clear junk. And this was a woman who had lost her husband suddenly and needed some help. So we send the people out there, you know, so there is a lot of opportunity.
Tracy, I think about a story that Holly shared with us a couple times, a child that was a first grader.
Mm-hmm.
and I'm going to paraphrase here, but basically told the teacher that maybe if they weren't around, it'd make it easier for their mother to take care of his brother and sister.
Yeah.
And that's heartbreaking because, but it's also encouraging once the food was provided to that child's countenance totally changed after they had food on the weekends.
Yeah. Well, children that go hungry have a higher incident of not attending school, of suicide, and then when they become teens, trading sex for food. That's a common makeup of a child who's food insecure. It's kind of astonishing to me that I've noticed we forget that small children in kindergarten will one day be an adult, right? Mm-hmm. So you just have to think about, what kind of adult do we want them to hopefully become and fulfill their dreams and, you know, what God has for them. I was doing something for Feed New Mexico Kids, Inc., and it was through Sandia Bank. And I needed help getting online. And I was talking, so I called their customer service line, and the lady was so helpful. And she saw that it was a Feed New Mexico Kids account, and she said, "Thank you for what you're doing." And I said, you know, it just didn't dawn on me that she was here in New Mexico. And I said, "Are you in the state?" And she said, "Yes." And in fact, before I was able to get this job, my children and I got food from Feed New Mexico Kids through the school that helped us out.
Wow.
And I just didn't know what to say. I was just trying to be professional and not tear up. And, you know, I just told her, you know, then I said, "Are you doing okay now?" And she said, "Yes, we're doing really well now." And I said, "Would you like to help serve?"
That's great.
Right? And that's the way it works. And if we can continue, you know, to give our time, energy, and money as it's appropriate for us, you know, having lived this out in my life, now is my time to give back. So think about that, too.
Tracy, you had personal experience with being hungry.
Yeah. When I was a kid, my mom struggled with drugs and alcohol, and because of that, my sister and I really didn't know when we were going to be able to eat. So we often ate at school, and I just remember her dropping us off, and it wasn't yet light out, and we would go in the back door into the cafeteria and help make the food. Like, to this day, the smell of a school cafeteria, I don't really know if it helps me, but we would, you know, open canned peaches and whatever, you know, put the milks on the trays, and so we were able to eat breakfast because we were there serving. And another time in school, you know, school lunch was like 40 cents, but I didn't have 40 cents, so I would just walk through the line because you don't want to be embarrassed, and this was like fourth or fifth grade, so that's when you really are caring what people think. So I would go through the line and just go back out to the playground. I was the only kid on the playground, and the principal came out and he said, "You know, why are you out here? Did you eat lunch?" And I said, "No, I don't have any money." And he like dug in his pocket and gave me money, and I was able to get back in line to eat. But I didn't, if I would have had snack packs, I would have been able to concentrate in school and really not stress. I think we forget that young kids stress, you know, when they don't have enough to eat. They can't think. They can't.
Yeah, can you imagine not eating Saturday and Sunday? 8 o'clock, you have a quiz, and you're a fifth grader.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't imagine.
Well, just the worry.
That. Yeah.
You know, when you worry, your stomach acids get going and you have to take something for that. You know, they have that same issue happening.
And being hungry. And I don't know very many third graders or fourth graders or even eighth graders that need to lose weight over the weekends. And some of them will lose 10, 20% of their body weight.
Yeah. Well, there's an example that Holly would give all the time that a teenage boy standing still burns 3,000 calories. So imagine that doesn't stop once you become a teenager.
So you're actually feeding high school kids as well.
Yes.
Yes. That's important for the listeners to know that, because often they think it's just the younger ones. Mm-hmm. High schoolers, couch surfing, we have a lot of those stories and feedback that we get, that they're just going from house to house and trying to figure it out and trying to provide for themselves.
Yeah.
Super
and
sad.
Is it how you've made it really simple for them to get food? How does a child say? How would a 15-year-old get food from a high school counselor? They just have to ask.
The teachers and counselors, to our understanding, the majority they build relationships when they're in school. The teachers can really spot it. They know.
They don't even have to ask.
No, then they're approached.
There was a woman who became a counselor at an alternative school in Rio Rancho, and I was talking to her, and she said, I want to help with Feed New Mexico kids. She said, when I came into this position, I wanted to get to know the kids better, so I would put snacks in my office so they would come talk to me. And a lot of times kids in alternative programs are there because of different issues. And she said they were coming in all the time, and I was running out of snacks. And she said I would just ask them, did you eat today? And they would say no. So yeah. There it is.
Tracy Rodden and Zanetta Crocker are in studio, and we're talking about Feed New Mexico Kids. I hope you'll stay with us. We've got another half an hour. We'll be back.
Some people find comfort in the status quo. Others just can't wait to challenge it.
If this were a recovery meeting, I would begin by saying my name is Skip, and I'm a nonconformist.
How about you? Do you go with the flow or swim against the current? The truth is, going against the status quo can be difficult, but following Jesus requires it. The Bible's account of Daniel shows how God can transform lives by one person's willingness to defy what's normal.
I like to think of it this way. When the waves of life came crashing down, Daniel decided to go surfing. He thought, I'm going to ride these waves. If these waves are the will of God for my life, I'm going to learn how to master these things, and I'm going to get propelled forward.
Learn to soar above the status quo with Skip Heitzig's book, Defying Normal. It's our way of saying thanks for your gift of $35 or more to help connect more people to God's Word. And when you give, we'll also include the booklet, What on Earth Am I Here For? By Rick Warren. These two resources will help you stand out from the crowd for God's glory. Visit connectwithskip.com/offer to give online securely today, or call 800-922-1888.
Back to Genesis with Dr. John Morris, president, author, and creation seminar speaker with the Institute for Creation Research. Dr. Morris, was the ark big enough to carry all the animals that needed to be on board?
Most assuredly it was, Chris. The ark was even bigger than it needed to be. Carefully estimating how many different kinds of animals there were before the flood and the average size, we see that the ark was more than sufficient for the task. In fact, it probably could have carried many more animals. I suspect that it also could have carried many more humans, too. But they had all rejected God's offer to repent and get on board. They died in the flood, but there was room on board. Chris, we don't know all the details about the flood, but those that we do know fit very nicely into the Back to Genesis truth of creation and the flood.
To learn more about creation, get our free DVD called That's a Fact. Visit our web store at icr.org/store and use the promo code FACT at the checkout when ordering your That's a Fact DVD.
On KLYT, this is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
Trace, we mentioned the documentary that you put together, and I have a feeling that a lot of people that are listening now, mm-hmm. they're not going to grab everything, but the documentary mm-hmm. would be good for them to take a look mm-hmm. at if they get a chance. How yeah. is that accessible to them?
So it's in two places. You can find it at feednmkids.com. As soon as you open up the website, it's right there. And then it's also accessible on YouTube.
But you have to type out Feed New Mexico
yeah.
Kids.
Yeah. Don't abbreviate New Mexico or you won't find it. But in the documentary, we do talk about the purpose of Feed New Mexico Kids, how to get involved, what a snack pack looks like, you know, what goes in a snack pack. And then there's illustrations of stories we've, you know, had come through Feed New Mexico Kids that we have had actors reenact.
Okay. I don't know who gets to answer this question, but I'll ask both of you. We are all affected by inflation right now.
Yes.
So I'm certain that the cost of every snack pack is skyrocketing.
Yeah.
There is some advantage if you want to, like, for example, if you're listening and you're in Las Cruces.
Right.
There would be some advantage to you working with Feed New Mexico Kids. I know you're working, Tracy, on trying mm-hmm. to acquire food at, mm-hmm. at a discounted price for yeah. everybody that wants to be involved in those plans. Please please pray.
Yeah.
If you're listening, that those mm-hmm. come together, because we could save a lot of money for everybody.
Yeah.
But you've also acquired some credibility with school districts. Mm-hmm. And so for us to do this together mm-hmm. might be really helpful.
Mm-hmm. The more church partners that we have, it's kind of like the saying that a heavy burden is lighter by many hands. And that's probably not exactly the way it's said. But currently, Calvary is serving 52, 53 locations. We are looking for church partners that are willing to kind of take some of that burden off.
So Legacy Church is doing?
Legacy does help. Legacy packs about 1,000 mm-hmm. snack packs a week.
That's amazing.
But, you
know. Mentioned Faith Lutheran Church.
Mm-hmm. Yep. I think there's 10 churches right now, right?
There's 10 churches. Mm-hmm. So there's 10 church partners, Calvary being one of them. And last year, there was over 86,000 snack packs packed between all the church partners. But it's important to know that we don't just serve APS. We serve 5 different school districts. So we're in Santa Fe, we're in New Mexico, Albuquerque, we're in Las Lunas, Nikki Wolf, Bosque Farms Church has a packing there. And so we're looking to go to Las Cruces, you know, more south, you know, anywhere. We'll go anywhere.
Tracy, in not one of those areas mm-hmm. is every child that has need being helped.
Right.
But with just a little bit more help,
right,
everybody could be taken care of.
And I was talking about this with Zanetta earlier. This has been a rough couple years. You know, it just has. I don't care who you are. You understand what I'm saying when I'm talking about that. And you watch the news and you watch all the things that are happening, especially in, 2020. It's like, what is going on? People are losing their mind and you can do nothing about it. But this is an issue you can do something about.
Yes.
Right.
Absolutely. Zanetta, what's in a snack pack?
So the snack packs contain single serve non-perishable food items. And, we have, I'll just list out several things. There's beef ravioli in there. It does have a pull top lid on it. So the child can eat it directly out of the bag. That's super, super important.
But if somebody wants to
important.
Buy a case of those, it's important that they get a
With a pull top lid. Yes.
So a 5-year-old can eat it.
Yeah. And they eat it. A lot of these kids that we're talking about, they eat it straight out of the bag. They may not have access to a can opener. So that's super important. There's mac and cheese in there. We learned that those, little cups of mac and cheese, they can actually walk into a gas station or a convenience store and they will be allowed to put hot water in it because they have their own container. So that's something for the listening audience to be aware of. Ramen noodles. Believe it or not, we have been having such a shortage on ramen noodles. And that's more of a belly filler that helps the child just to be sustained a little bit longer. We have applesauce squeezes, yogurt squeezes, oatmeal packets are in there. Same idea with the oatmeal. You can open it and put in hot water.
Protein bars and stuff.
Protein bars, granola bars. Yep. And so the hugest need, if you're listening and you want to help food specifically, are the raviolis, beef ravioli, please. We're trying to give them as much protein as we can.
Right.
Again, with the pull top lid, the containers of mac and cheese or Velveeta, either one works fine. Those we run out of a lot. And then the ramen noodle, like I said, but each one of these snack packs, we also put a spoon and a napkin in there so they can eat straight out of there. And then this is one thing that we super love and the kids have been so encouraged is that we put encouragement cards in there now. Mm-hmm. So there is a word of encouragement saying we love you or we see mm-hmm. you or you were made for a great purpose, like things like that. So we mm-hmm. have volunteers. That's another volunteer opportunity. If you're listening, mm-hmm. We have volunteers that get super creative and write the kindest things on there and they decorate it. They'll draw pictures or put stickers and it's super great for the kids and just something to encourage them and say, hey, you're seen. You're not alone.
Zanetta, you've mentioned the importance of volunteers. You've
yeah.
even used the word fun in our first segment about
yeah.
snack packing. But how has a person's life changed that actually volunteers? Because it's good for them, too.
Absolutely. Well, first of all, you are hands-on. When you're going down the line and you're holding that gallon-sized bag, a gallon-sized Ziploc baggie, mm-hmm. if you think about that, that's not very much. And we fill it as much as we can. I mean, that thing, sometimes we're fighting to zip it at the end of the line. that's how much we want to provide for these kids. But when you have your hands on a bag, that bag represents a child's life.
Mm-hmm.
Our volunteers have the opportunity to pray over those bags, and they know what one bag represents. They hear these stories firsthand. And again, they're the ones that are out there. Our same volunteers who pack are, some of them are the same delivery drivers, if that's something they chose to do. So they also have the ability to build those relationships with the people at the school and share with them, ask them questions, you know, ask, you know, what, you know, how is it going with these snack packs? Like, do you know, are the kids, you know, do you need more? Do you need less? Like, and just building those relationships. And like the story I shared earlier, just being available to pray with some of these people and to provide for other needs if they see fit or if they refer them back to us as a church.
I love that. Zinda, mm-hmm. How's the partnership work with APS? Because they are a good partner. And I'm asking that because I'm hoping like Las Cruces Public Schools and Raton Public Schools and others will get the idea that, hey, this is a scalable thing in your area.
Yeah. So what we've learned with APS, first of all, like, let me just explain the way that we do this, because when the school year is going to start again in the fall, so every fall, that's probably the busiest time of year, because we are literally from the office calling our school contacts that we've already have a relationship established with a lot of, we start with them. We they work on their end to find out who the kids are. It takes a little bit to get this under control a couple months into school because the teachers are still getting to know the kids. Mm-hmm. Some of them are the same. Some of them, they're new students that come in and they recognize the things that Tracy mentioned earlier, like maybe the student is super lethargic and not all coherent. You know, they start learning the lives of these kids pretty quickly. They communicate right back to us, and we provide them with what they need as far as snack packs goes, and we adjust those numbers, you know, and work with them very closely with them. So it's a lot of phone calls, lots of communication, but they're great with the teachers, counselors. They spread the word to other schools and their peers, other counselors, and then they'll call us. Like, that's kind of how it works. If somebody hasn't heard of it yet, but we have not had one school that's denied the program, because there are kids in every school. Again, this is elementary through high school. Nobody has ever denied the program. They are super thankful, and they really need the help, because prior to us coming in and helping, the people who are buying granola bars or buying something for those kids who are coming in lethargic and don't have anything to eat mm-hmm. are those teachers, are mm-hmm. those counselors, out of their own pocket. Not because mm-hmm. they have a budget with the school, out mm-hmm. of their own pocket. So they're super thankful, and they work with us very well.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to say this, but I feel like I need to challenge people in New Mexico.
Yeah.
Churches don't typically play well together.
Mm-hmm. It's true.
And I don't know that I'm not in it on anybody's case, but this is one example where they do.
Yeah.
Because you've provided a system. You have a great relationship.
Yeah.
The majority of every dollar goes to providing food and baggies to put the food in.
Right.
And it's just an amazing unity. It's bringing the community together. It's the people that are packing and delivering and the people that are needing the snack packs. It's like we are one big family.
Yeah. Well, the thing about children being hungry is it's not political. It hits all races. It's not, you know, it's really not. How are you going to argue with that? Mm-hmm. No, I don't. Why would we feed the children? I mean, you never hear that. Once somebody realizes the need that we lead the nation in childhood hunger, you know, we toggle between first, second, third, mm-hmm. you know, all the time, then they realize that that's an issue. And, you know, even if you're not a parent, you understand that there's a need there.
Yeah.
And it doesn't matter, you know, what church you go to.
Mm-hmm. And when we started talking about this a couple years ago, 3 years ago, about 1,000 kids were being served.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Now there's over 3,000 kids being served, and we've mm-hmm. got a couple more thousand to go, and then everybody's being served.
Mm-hmm.
That is an amazing thing, that we could get this problem of childhood hunger off the books. New Mexico could be at the top of the list where we don't have any children that are without food.
That would be great.
Well, think about, how many times in your life are you going to be able to say, I helped save a life?
Mm-hmm.
If you're not in the profession of it, firefighter, police officer, medical, you know, the top three, you, when you're packing a snack pack, like Zenita said, you're helping to save a life. You're helping to make a change. And there's nothing like that feeling in the world. So, you know, that it, the people that serve benefit just as much as who they're serving.
Yeah. And can I just interject real quick too, because hopefully this is okay. I just want to mention that we have, we keep mentioning church partners, and yes, we need them. Yes, we want them. Feed New Mexico Kids, yes. Inc. wants them. But I just, Tracy will agree with me, I'm sure, that we want businesses.
Yes,
Feed New Mexico Kids, Inc.
You're
wants 100%. Businesses. So if you're a business owner out there, there is, there are several businesses who they do, team building, packing parties, snack pack
you
packing
had Target
parties.
Come.
Yeah, Target.
Yeah.
Go shop Target at Paseo.
Yeah.
But no, they did a team building thing and had the manager had his team going and shopping through the store. I mean, and it was incredible what they donated. We have another company. Mm-hmm. I'm drawing a blank right now. Robex? Oh gosh, I want to give you a shout out. They have food set up in a room. Their team members can go in that room and pack a snack pack.
Yeah.
Anytime they want to during a break or whatever, and they come and drop them off here to Calvary, and they do the best job. They even put extra snacks in there for the kids, like Oreo cookies and things like that. So anyway, that's another opportunity.
We've had Larry Miller, Toyota, I think, donated food.
Mm-hmm.
My husband works for Perican Enterprises. At Christmas time, they decided to do a fundraiser during their company Christmas party, mm-hmm. and the company did matching, whatever people donated.
Discount Tires have done little competitions against each
Bristol
other.
Bristol Donuts. I want to give a shout out to them. They're going to have our poster up at Bristol Donuts.
Well, it's wonderful that you guys brought this up because I got a call from another business partner. And they're going to join us right after this break.
How fun.
And, all right.
It's Bosky Home Services, Bosky Heating, Cooling, and Plumbing. So we'll be back and talk a little bit about how businesses can interact and help feed New Mexico kids. We'll be right back.
This is a fresh thought. Listen up to Levi Lesko.
In the lead up to the cross, Jesus was very intentional about how he spent his time. He had communion with his disciples. They sang a worship song, and then he took them to the Garden of Gethsemane, where they spent an hour in prayer before he was arrested. Jesus knew the challenge of the crucifixion, the hour, the cup, as he called it, was coming, and he wanted to be ready. He wanted to have worship in his soul. He wanted to have prayers being prayed. He wanted to get his heart right. And the reality is all of us have challenges to face in this life, stuff at work, stuff in our family, stuff in our relationships that's hard. We need to do no less than Jesus did to prepare ourselves for what's to come. On the cross, Jesus was calm, and that's because he had established a strength in his soul. The point is, you can't rise up like a lion unless you first bow down like a lamb.
For more fresh thoughts, go to levilesko.com.
Today is National Life Insurance Day. Hi, I'm Rob West with a MoneyWise Minute. May 2nd is the anniversary of the day life insurance first became available in the U.S. It happened on May 2nd, 1759, when Presbyterians in New York and Philadelphia created the Corporation for Relief of Poor and Distressed Widows and Children of Presbyterian Ministers. If you're the primary breadwinner in your household, buying adequate life insurance is a wise and loving thing to do so that your loved ones will be provided for if you die. How much life insurance you need depends on your family situation and your level of assets and debt. But a good starting point is coverage equal to 10 times your annual income. If you're not insured or you're underinsured, do something about that just as soon as you can. We can help you learn to manage your money according to biblical principles when you download the free MoneyWise app. You'll find it on our website at moneywise.org.
Enemies can't betray you because that is no surprise.
No surprise.
But friends can. Skip Heitzig puts his finger on this pain point.
To love anyone at all is to be vulnerable.
Vulnerable.
To love anyone at all is to take risks, even if it means being hurt.
Jesus and Judith, a lesson for the ages.
Jesus lived in that total awareness of what is happening, and he knew this was to fulfill Scripture. Here was the mechanism. this betrayer, this betrayal by which Jesus would go to the cross to pay for the sin of the world.
Get more teachings from Skip at connectwithskip.com.
Truth is, you will be betrayed. Somebody will take advantage of you. Here's the question. What do you do?
What do you do?
Answer. Choose to love them anyway.
Listen to Skip on the go. Download the Connect with Skip Hitek app on your mobile device.
Nobody knew that Judas was betraying Jesus until that night, which means Jesus continually showed love overtly, outwardly, publicly to Judas. Amazing.
This is ABQ Connect with Jim Williams. Join the conversation by calling 505-338-5790 or text 505-585-LIVE.
We are here with Tracy Rodden, the new executive director of Feed New Mexico Kids, and Zanetta Crocker, the community outreach director for Calvary Church. And Zanetta, right before the break, brought up the importance of dealing with businesses and helping kids have food on the weekends. And it just so happens that we have Dominic and Carlos Griego. Dominic is with Bosque Home Services, and Carlos is one of the owners. Gentlemen, I appreciate you being here. Tell us why you're here.
Well, we came in here to meet with these ladies today and introduce ourselves, and we've been talking for a long time about getting involved with New Mexico Feed the Children, and so we want to add them to one of the charities that we work with on a regular basis and support and get our team involved with them, and that's what we're here to do, is to keep the community dollars in our community, and we want to make sure that they support our community. So every person that does business with Bosque, they always know that their dollars are going back into our community.
I love that. I love that so much.
Yeah, thank you. That's so great.
It's such a generous thing.
Zanetta had just mentioned that there are businesses having packing parties. And that was one of the things you talked about, Carlos, with your staff is maybe doing some of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah, we've learned that some of the businesses who do that, they are the staff just really gets excited and gets on board, and they have hands on. We were talking a minute ago about some of our volunteers, like it's super important for them and really blesses them right back. And it's really impactful because they're putting their hands on that gallon baggie and filling it with the items. It is that represents a child's life. So for somehow it like, you know, they take it more to heart, I guess. And it's a fun thing. We've had different businesses do competitions and just fun stuff.
I think with all the charity work I've done and given my time with the church or the community, you know, it really helps you get a pulse on our, you know, our the place we live, our community, what's going on in it. Because I think we walk around blind sometimes because our life is so good.
We
think everybody's doing so good. So it really gives you a realization of there are needs that still need to be met. And if we don't fill those needs, who's going to do it?
Were you surprised when you heard how many kids in New Mexico go hungry?
Absolutely not, because I grew up in that community.
Okay.
And what community, what area are you from?
I actually grew up next to the state fairgrounds.
Okay.
Lomas and Louisiana area.
Yeah.
So I think they were, what do they call that neighborhood?
Like the
war
international
zone?
District? Yeah.
I mean, that's reality. That's what they called it.
Yeah.
And, you know, I went to La Mesa Elementary School. I went to Hayes Middle School. And so we were in a depressed neighborhood. And so I grew up on things like this, so I feel 100% responsible to give back those things to that community, because I know there's another me inside that community that needs it.
Yeah, I love this. Tracy mentioned that earlier, that you know, she was on the phone with somebody at a bank, and she learned that that person, now they're employed, and but her children were some of the children who were helped through this program, and then Tracy was able to ask her if she wanted to get on board and start serving, so that's super cool of you.
Well, it's a commitment to, you know, everything that we do and everything that we believe in. 100% of why we even started a business was to be able to have my own vision of giving back and developing our community here in Albuquerque, because I know we all talk about doing missionary work, but I always believe in being an urban missionary and starting right here in our own backyard and then spreading it out from there.
Yeah,
but we got to clean our own yard first before we start cleaning everybody else's.
That's right. Can I ask him a question? Is that okay? So growing up, like, without food, or being one of these children who was in that neighborhood and knows what it's like for food insecurity and all of that, you own a business now? Is that what I heard? So I guess I'm just wondering, I just think of those kids that we're helping, and if they're being helped with food, how that can change a life to that maybe some of these kids are going to become business owners like yourself, you know?
Right. Well, if you reach them in the right way and the compassionate way, and you take time to actually engage them with humility and empathy and, and make them feel like a human being. Because sometimes you feel like you're not good enough or like even such a thing exists, right?
Less
like, what does that mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Like
mm-hmm.
as an adult these days, I'm like, what does that mean? I'm not good enough.
Yeah.
What's good enough to you? Explain that to me.
Right. Yeah.
So once you let them understand that and you work with them a little bit, what you guys are doing, I think that's an amazing thing. And I could tell you some of the best mentors that I had were people that came and worked in the community. And I was like, oh, so I don't have to live this lifestyle. I can actually. And I know as kids, you hear, and everyone's heard this, you could do anything you want to do in the world.
But how is the key, right? How do you,
right.
if you're starving, you know, how, I should say, if you're food insecure, how do you get to that point?
Yeah.
Most adults, if they skip lunch, they're hangry.
Right? So spoiled.
So a child who's counting on a snack pack to get him through the weekend. That's
I think, you know, when you're a kid, it's a lot worse.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
As a child, I mean, I remember being so hungry after school and on the weekends. Like, it, like, almost, like, internally hurt.
Yeah.
As a
young
man. Because
you're
like,
growing. And,
you're growing, developing, et cetera. Yeah. And to go home and realize that you don't have that much food. I mean, it gets all the way back. I hate to say this, but I mean, I remember eating syrup sandwiches just to be like, this is what I need to eat today because I just need to eat something. I'm starving.
Yeah. Right.
And I would just hate to see another kid have to do that. I hope that one day that
we
is
can
not
fix
an issue.
It. We can fix it. It's doable if we all come together. So did you pack at your facility?
No, they haven't done this yet. This will be the first time. They specifically wanted to come today. Carlos and Bosky Home Services, along with Dominic, they wanted to come today and tell you right here on the air live they're making a donation to the ministry.
This is so fantastic.
And they want to have a relationship moving forward.
Yes, we would absolutely love to partner with you and come in and show you how to start making that happen.
Well, we would love to of course, donate as much, you know, of our profits as we can to your organization and our time.
Yeah, time is critical.
You know, and that's the big thing, too. And people have to realize when you use local companies, then those local companies support local things like this.
That's right.
Yeah.
When you use companies from out of state, 70 to 80% of those funds go back out of the state and don't work here in the community.
Yeah. And so many people have not the most positive things to say about New Mexico. Having lived here 11 years, have heard pretty much, I think, all of it. But let's do something about it.
Well, I've been here about 40 years. And I know that at some point in time, I believe that we will be on the top of that list.
Let's go.
If we do it, if everybody just wakes up and realizes that, you know what, we're all, someone's looking at us.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
It could change.
Little. Yeah.
But it took 40 years for me to get here, so.
Yeah.
But you know what, I'm literally.
But you're only halfway.
I'm literally hoping that maybe 10 businesses like Carlos's will join.
And
I'm
we
hoping
do recognize
10 more churches.
Them. Yeah, we will recognize this business on our website and in our newsletter. Yeah. So.
Well, and they've been a longtime sponsor of our show, ABQ Connect. Bosky Home Services is our presenting sponsor. And Carlos, you're generous to support the ministry and to look out for the people that you're helping. Because I bet you're fixing as many pipes and air conditioners over there by Louisiana and Zuni as you were over here in the off of Paseo del Norte in the freeway.
I would tell you the need is everywhere. The need is everywhere. And, you know, it's just a matter of, you know, I mean, how good is it to be able to use a company that not only is going to take care of a service that you need anyway, but to also know that that money is going to get pumped right back into the community where it's also needed?
Right.
Where I don't know that that's in a lot of people's business plans.
Right.
Yeah.
To raise up
that's
children
really
that become, you know, a part of society that contributes in a positive way.
Right.
Yeah.
But you got to have the heart for it, I think, and it's got to be part of the plan. Even when I started the business, it was part of the plan. If it was just for my personal benefit, then it didn't make sense for me to run a business.
Right.
But when it was a benefit to the people that I work with in the community, that's when it made sense. Mm,
that's really good.
I love
Carlos
that.
With Bosky Home Services in studio, making a donation today to Feed New Mexico Kids. Tracy, one more time, the website and the number to call if you want to get involved with Feed New Mexico Kids.
So you can text us or give us a call at 252-4341 or go to feednmkids.com.
Thank you so much, Zanetta, Tracy, Dominic, Carlos. You guys are a blessing.
Thank you.
Appreciate
it.
ABQ Connect with Jim Williams is a production of KLYT. The views expressed on ABQ Connect do not necessarily reflect the views of staff or management at KLYT. If you missed any or part of today's show, the podcast can be found at abqconnect.online.